Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about someone who is a million-dollar party girl? Now isn't that a great brand name? Tell me, would you like to learn more about how you can be one too? Let's face it, who wouldn't want to be one? Have you ever wanted to know how to become a mompreneur? I'm not saying entrepreneur, I'm saying mompreneur. Can you imagine having the courage to quit your day job? That's a biggie. Tell me, do you know what it takes to work from home? Well, I certainly do. Have you ever heard about a book called The Million Dollar Party Girl? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories today. I will be introducing you to my guest. She is a success coach extraordinaire, and she will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice on how to become successful. I am pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.7 million listeners to date. Also, LinkedIn has recently announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you about my guest today. She is an award-winning entrepreneur and author and is known as the Million Dollar Party Girl. Don't let that nickname fool you. As a working mom, she followed her inner visionista and had the courage, vision, and belief to leave the safety net of a successful corporate career and pursue her own personal dream of empowering a gazillion women to create a bigger vision for their business and their lives. She overcame fear, failure, and mommy guilt to become a multi-million dollar revenue generating direct sales entrepreneur. And according to a recent Wall Street Journal small business report, just 1.8% of women-owned businesses generate more than $1 million in annual revenues. That puts my guest at the top of her game. I am very pleased to welcome to the show today Lynn Bardowski. Hi, Lynn. How are you doing?
Hi, January. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and I'm so excited to have you on the show. I love your brand name, the Million Dollar Party Girl. It sounds like such a fun name. How did you come up with that?
Well, that's a great story. I am a 23-year entrepreneur, And I quit my day job, as you shared earlier, back in 1990. I was very successful. It's actually more of a riches to rags story. I was very successful in the corporate world, but wasn't happy. Like so many women, was looking for something different in my life. And I happened to get an invitation to a party light party. Now, Party Light is the number one direct marketer of candles in the world.
Okay.
And I just walked into that party, knew that's what I was supposed to be doing with my life. And it was one of those like aha moments. Went home and told my husband that I was quitting my successful career.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know how that went, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, forward march, did it anyway, even though everyone said I was nuts. And was within 6 months, I was able to quit my full-time career, become a full-time mompreneur. As you said, my daughters were 3 and 5 at the time. Fast forward, you know, 23 years later, I built a multi-million dollar business generating about $3 million in annual revenue. A year consistently for about 18 of my 23 years.
Oh, wow.
And last year decided to write the book to help other women get there. And that's how I came up with the name and branded myself and trademarked it as the Million Dollar Party Girl.
Well, that's a terrific brand, and of course, I'm glad you trademarked it, and it's a wonderful, inspirational story you're sharing. Now, let's backtrack to share with my listeners where you were born, where you grew up, and who your early mentors with. Share with us a little bit about your personal story.
Sure. I had a basic, what you would consider middle-class background. I grew up at the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
So I'm a Jersey girl at heart. Don't pay attention to what you see on TV about Jersey girls.
Okay.
We're not all snooky. I lived about 2 blocks from the beach. You know, grew up with the sand between my toes. And my dad had a tasty cake business, which I know you probably have a worldwide audience. They might not all know what that is, but it's basically like a snack cake, you know, delivering to supermarkets.
Yummy, yummy.
Yeah. That gave me like instant bragging rights when I went to school.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
And what a lot of people didn't know was that Tasty Cake Men ran their roots as entrepreneurs. They ran it as their own business. And my dad taught me a lot of great lessons about risk-taking, dealing with customers, integrity. And so I just kind of fell into those entrepreneurial shoes, so to speak, and went to school, thought I was going to go to college for fashion. That was my passion at the time. Got married in my early 20s. And actually, my husband and I are celebrating 30 years.
Oh,
next week.
Congratulations. How wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. And I still live in New Jersey, so.
Okay. So your dad was your early mentor. Now, did your mom work outside the home, or was she a stay-at-home mom?
She was, you know, a typical woman growing up in the 60s and 70s. She was a stay-at-home mom. She didn't have the opportunity to really go to college. And, you know, she was kind of like the lunchroom maid. As we got older, she would work in the school. And then eventually she ended up in her 60s managing a dental office. So,
oh, wow.
I was really proud of her for kind of, you know, living her dreams. She never thought it was too late to be what you wanted to be. And she ended up running an office with about 20 employees.
Wow. Good for her. Good for her. Well, you know, so many women, during those years did not work outside the home, and so many of them were frustrated and unfulfilled, and it's so wonderful to realize it's no longer like that, and most women are encouraged, if not to work outside the home as you are doing, they are encouraged to work inside the home. And I think that's an interesting aspect to your career. Now, your daughters were 3 and 5, so you wanted to spend more time with them, didn't you?
That exactly was the motivation. I was kind of coming up with like a crazy idea every other week. After I gave birth to my second child, I just was not happy working outside the home. I knew I wanted to still do something and use my talents, but I wanted to do it on my own terms.
Mm-hmm. That brings up an interesting topic, and so many women are dealing with it as we speak, and that's mommy guilt. How did it affect you while you were going out the door, and did you leave your children in daycare, or did you have a nanny?
I had a nanny. I was fortunate that I was making an excellent income. And could afford a live-in nanny. But you know what? It doesn't really matter because somebody else is still raising your kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a lot of mommy guilt. You know, you miss those moments, especially when they're so little. You know, you come home and you find out they took their first step or all those firsts. And you know, it's the little moments that kind of eat away at your mommy guilt and wish that you could have been there to experience it. And at the end of the day, you know, I was making great money, probably what would be equivalent to a six-figure income today back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I wasn't fulfilled. All my money was buying me was somebody else to raise my kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
in
a big house. And at the end of the day, it was all stuff, you know. It wasn't fulfilling me.
Oh, and I know you're speaking to so many women out there who are listening to this, and they're dealing with the same issues. And I know it's a very difficult thing to get the courage to quit your day job. What was your day job?
I was in sales, business to business. I sold printing, which doesn't exist today. I sold... I would have had to reinvent eventually because I sold payroll checks and custom printing invoices. You know, when's the last time we got a payroll check, right? They don't exist anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So the handwriting was on the wall, even though you probably 23 years ago did not realize it.
No, I mean, keep in mind, we didn't even have email, okay? So
Yeah, okay.
who knew what technology was going to be coming our way?
Yeah, that's just such an interesting story. We're going to take a break and hear about your host. And when we come back with Lynn Bardowski, we're going to talk a little bit about what it took to pull up the courage to actually quit her day job and what was her husband's reaction. We'll be right back with Lynn Bardowski.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who fearlessly shared their stories? People who have priceless personalities? I've been fortunate to host a talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories, and it's been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. In my new ebook, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, and even polygamy. Then there are my guests dealing with physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects. All of my guests have been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. I look forward to sharing them with you in my new ebook, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones. The introductory offer of $4.99 is now available at Amazon.com. Order it today.
I'm pleased to welcome back another priceless personality on our show, the Million Dollar Party Girl, Lynn Bardowski. She inspires women entrepreneurs to think big and manifest abundance. She is committed to awakening entrepreneurs to discover their own unique brilliance, take action, and then share their gifts. Most importantly, she encourages them to make the journey a fun experience. Now, Lynn, let's talk about when your journey started. How did you get up the courage to quit your day job, which was, you know, quite a bit of money at that time? And how did your husband react?
Well, I think you have to really tune in. One of the, the biggest lessons I share with other women is you really need to just listen to your heart. And, uh-huh. and sometimes it's your gut, you know, you've got those butterflies. And we all know when we've found our calling or our passion and we just don't act on it. You know, we kind mm-hmm. of tuck it away. We let that fear of failure creep in, or sometimes it's even fear of success.
Sure.
But yeah. I just knew that is what I was supposed to be doing, and I forged ahead. My husband, I call him my CFO. He, you know, of course thought I was crazy because it was going to mean a major financial loss to our family. And I would have told him he was crazy if he told me he was quitting his day job too.
Right. Yeah.
We really, you know, we had to sit down and make a business plan together and really decide what was important to us. And we even had to cancel the newspaper, you know, this is like bare bones of, you know, really cutting back on, you know, now the newspaper was suddenly a luxury from having mm-hmm. plenty of money coming in. And, but it got, you know, the pain has to be big enough that you'll take that leap. You'll take that leap of faith. And so I was just driven to do it. And I don't recommend anybody quit their day job. Before they have worked in their new business that they want to start. So I actually did both for about six months. And, you know, that was a smart decision. It kind of gave me that trial period to make sure this is really what I wanted. It uh-huh. helped us cut back on a lot of things and learn to live a lesser income life with less money. Uh-huh. And, you know, I started in January. By July, I was ready to really do it and then commit, you know, 100% effort to uh-huh. making it successful.
So now when you were doing this bridge between your day job and your future empire, how did you do it? Did you do part-time at your day job or did you stay full-time and then work yourself throughout the nights?
It wasn't easy. I mean, it was craziness at my house because I was working, I really couldn't work part-time on my day job. You know, I was in sales, so I had a little bit of flexibility there, but I still had to produce. I had to generate the numbers.
Uh-huh.
So I would work my day job Monday through Friday, and then I would work my party life business doing, you know, selling at home parties and starting to develop and build and develop people on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you have to have one of those conversations. It's that old saying, you can do anything for a short period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people that are willing to do that tend to be the most successful people that can kind of crunch it down and really have, you know, that BHAG where they're really working it at both ends. I was burning the candle at both ends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's a difficult thing to do, especially when you have young children, and you certainly had to have a husband who was supportive, although during this time he had a full-time job too, didn't he?
Yes, yes, he did. So, uh-huh. you know, he suddenly, and even though, you know, we both had careers, and I find this true even today, you know, the men are so much more involved with children today.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the kids still want their mother.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, baby wants their mother.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, those years go by so quickly, and pretty soon they get to their teen years, and they're not so interested in their mothers anymore. All they want to do is be with their friends.
Yes, yeah. That's a whole nother dynamic.
Oh, yeah. Now, let's look. I was looking at the contents of your book, and you have secrets that you share with your readers. And secret number one is you're not who everyone thinks you are. Could you talk about that topic a little bit?
Sure. Well, I find this to be so true. People in the world we live in, they judge us by our title. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're an accountant, a lawyer, doesn't matter what you are. People make a decision about you. They don't really take the time to find out who you really are and the gifts and talents that you have that you can bring to the world. So people didn't know who I was.
Uh-huh.
I'm really both ends of the spectrum. So here I look like I have this great life.
Sure.
super successful. You know, we had the big house, the BMW in the driveway. But they didn't know who I really was. That's not the, I decided I didn't want that life. And a lot of people had a big problem with me giving that up because part of their confidence and self-esteem was based on my success. You know, there's a little ego involved with that.
Sure.
And so I suddenly went from, you know, being this career woman to becoming an entrepreneur in a business that most people thought that was for women that had nothing else to do with their time.
Right, exactly. This is like so many women became part-time Tupperware saleswomen, and there were a lot of things that were out there for part-time work, but for you to decide you wanted to do it as a full-time and to make a real career out of it took a lot of courage. And your message with Secret One is to be true to yourself, isn't it?
That's exactly it. It's when you are authentic and true to yourself and not caring what other people think, you know, that's kind of, you know, now I've branded myself Million Dollar Party Girl. I'm like totally putting it out there that this is who
totally.
I am. Like it or leave it.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people, when they see Million Dollar Party Girl, I bet your website gets a lot of hits.
Well, it's funny. Once in a while, I'll see that my ebook was returned on Amazon. You know, it's only $4.99, and I'm thinking, who would return an ebook? And then I go, oh, they probably thought it was a different kind of party girl.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's why I love your name. It's fantastic. Now, secret number two is wealthy people turn pages, and that's an interesting title for a chapter. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, well, you asked me earlier who my mentors were, and I was a real bookworm growing up. You know, I would just sit and read hours on end, and a lot of my early mentors, you know, were people like Napoleon Hill. I can remember reading Think and Grow Rich as a teenager.
Oh, wow.
And it's just because my parents had these books around, and I would just kind of absorb, you know, pick up anything there was to read because I just loved reading.
Oh, okay.
So another book I read by Stanley Marcus of Neiman Marcus was called Minding the Store.
Oh, okay.
I read that when I was getting into fashion when I was in high school. And if you want to learn about branding, there is no better book than learning the Neiman Marcus story. I mean, they, you know, have taken an incredible brand. One of his messages is, you know, even if you're making money on it, if it's not associated with your brand, you still should not sell it, even if it's something you're making money on.
Wow. That's pretty tough talk there, isn't it?
It really is. And they, you know, decided, again, it's about deciding who you want to be, who you want to serve. That's a big part of branding. But, you know, we didn't even have the phrase branding back in, you know, the 1980s. It's kind of really become a catchphrase, you know, in the last 10 years. You know, everybody's talking about branding.
Especially with
the recession in the economy. It's never been really important to be true to your brand, to really connect with your customers. And that was a brand new book before we even knew what branding was.
Right, yeah. Fantastic suggestion for our listeners. Neiman Marcus, Minding the Store. Now, you also write about act on purpose, and that's a very interesting comment. Could you tell us what your message is for secret number three?
Yeah, my message is, we talked about really being authentic and true to who you are. Tuning in. And so acting on purpose is just that. It's knowing who you are and then acting on what your true purpose was, even if it, you know, presents itself as something totally different as what you thought it was going to look like.
Okay.
You know, for me, I didn't even go to home parties back then. It wasn't even on my... I was like, I can't believe this is what I ended up doing for a living, because I was actually more of a demo snob than you know, a demo diva back then. It was just, I was too busy. I was working full time. I just thought, you know, I was just like everybody else. I thought those women just had nothing better to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, that's why you're so successful, because you brought not only the pros, you brought the cons to this concept. So you were aware of what you were going into and what you were going to be dealing with people who weren't too excited about your home parties. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor. And when we come back with Lynn, I want to talk to her about what the golden lasso. She says, pack your golden lasso. So we'll see what that means. And also, when we come back, Lynn will be sharing her website information and sharing how we can get her book. We'll be right back with Lynn Bardowski.
What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play, and well-being. Provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
AATH is a fantastic organization, and I am a member, and I highly encourage anyone else who's looking to find more humor in their life, please consider joining. Now, let's talk a little bit about my guest. As a keynote speaker, best-selling author, radio host, business coach, sales trainer, and blogger, Lynn has successfully mentored and trained thousands of women. Her keynote audiences include the eWoman Network Success Summit, Party Light National Conference, Interconnections for Women Networking, Be Your Best Self International Convention, and the Boomer Reinvention Summit. My, you have been such a busy girl, Lynn. Now, could you share with my listeners your website and tell us how we can get your book?
Yes, my website is milliondollarpartygirl.com, all spelled out. You can actually click on Success Book right from my website, and it'll click you through to Amazon. So it's available on Amazon as an ebook as well as a paperback.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. And I've been to Lynn's website, and it's very exciting. I highly recommend it for all of you gals out there who are listening and wondering what you can do with your own, to create your own success story. Now, Lynn, share with us this secret about pack your golden lasso.
Yes. Well, pack your golden lasso. You know, I started my business, and there was many naysayers, as there will be.
Uh-huh.
One of my tips for women entrepreneurs is that people you don't know will be more supportive than people you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a great tip.
Yes, it's true. And I tell people that right away. I'm like, here's how it's going to go down, right? Your friends and family, probably not so much, but your hairdresser will love to do things for you.
Yeah.
So every woman, you know, we need to kind of rock our inner Wonder Woman and really find our superpower. I mean, you know, my message is inside every woman is a million-dollar party girl.
Mm-hmm.
And every person has those unique talents and gifts that are just waiting to get out to share with the world. And you need to kind of get a little thick skin and realize that not everybody will be supportive. And sometimes it's people that you love are the ones that are not supportive. And
why do you think that is, Lynn?
Well, I could tell you exactly why. And it took me a long time to really come to the root of the issue. And I've seen so many women entrepreneurs give up because of a lack of a supportive spouse, you know, mother, sister. They literally quit and gave up because they felt it was because the person didn't love them or didn't believe in them. And that really works, you know, and gets in your head. And it can really be paralyzing. So what I discovered was, and it took me a long time, that it had nothing to do with me. It wasn't their lack of belief in me. It wasn't that they didn't love me. It was actually a lack they had in themselves.
Okay.
And they were projecting it on me.
So when they saw you going forward and doing this, it was something they felt that they could never do themselves, and so they almost didn't want to see you succeed?
Exactly. It was their own fear. You know, they had their own fear and anxiety. They might never be able to do something that I did, so they were projecting all those fears right back to me. Uh-huh. And it took me a really long time to discover that. And so all you can do is flow them some love, you know, keep sending out those positive vibes, because we can't fix other people. They have to fix themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let that be your reason for not sharing your gifts and talents.
Right. Now, do you suspect that maybe as you started to succeed and things started to take off, that perhaps there was a little jealousy on other people's part?
No, you know, it wasn't really a jealousy thing. It's funny, like even my mother would say to me, I mean, I had reached like the top level.
And
she would say things like, you know, you could still be a teacher if you wanted to home with your kids. I was like, what?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, okay. So, but again, I knew, you know, a lot of it's ego. It's because here she had this successful daughter in her mind. You know, now I chose a profession, being an entrepreneur. I gave up a lot of stuff, as I said earlier, you know, the trappings of that you can have in all life that looks so great on the outside. And part of, you know, her kind of self-worth and self-esteem was from having a super successful daughter. And to her, you know, being a teacher was safe.
Yeah. With her, that was probably a little more prestigious than selling candles.
Exactly.
Well, you certainly showed her. Now, I know. You write about failure is your blessing, and this is one of the themes of our show. Everyone who is successful has failure in their path, and they have to overcome it, and that's how they become successful. Could you share some comments and thoughts on failure is your blessing?
I love talking about failure. I think we need to talk more about it, because one of the messages I see a lot, especially, you know, social media, Facebook posts, there's a quote going around, and the quote says, "What would you attempt to do if you knew you couldn't fail?" And it's really a wrong message, because what we need to be saying is, what would you do if you knew failure was part of the success process? So it's kind of telling people, like, you know, if you're going to not fill your dreams because you might fail, whereas failure is necessary to succeed. You can't have one without the other. So, you know, my message is for people to rethink failure as part of the success process. It's not failure on one side and success on the other, which is what I actually always thought it was until I failed. That's how it happened to me.
Well, you know, failure is a blessing, and I have so many of my guests who are authors or in the entertainment world, and they all know all about failure, because once you try to put yourself out there, it's a very difficult thing to do. But it is a blessing, because once you can surmount the failure, then success will follow. Don't you agree?
I totally agree, and that's really, you know, that's where the good stuff is. That's when you really grow and develop and can innovate and reinvent and go on to something bigger and better than you ever imagined. And you know, failure is just going to be a little stop along the way.
Absolutely. And everyone has to go through it. It's part of the process. In Chapter 8, you write about hard work will not make you successful. Can you explain what this means and what's your personal success formula?
Yeah, well, you can tell just from my brand name that I like to raise an eyebrow every once in a while. So
good.
You know.
Absolutely.
You know, everyone's always saying work hard and you'll be successful. And I've seen a lot of people work harder than me, and not achieve the kind of success that I've achieved in 23 years. And it's because they're working hard, but they're working hard on the wrong things.
Okay. Okay.
So hard work will only make you successful if you're focused on those business building activities, the activities that are your highest income and revenue generators, versus being kind of caught up in the minutiae of just being busy and feeling like you're working hard because, you know, you're busy all day long, but you might not have, you know, connected with a new customer. So you really have to check in to see what you're working on, and are you working on the business building activities and not just stuck in that day-to-day minutia.
Okay, and what you're basically telling everyone out there, and I certainly agree, is you need to work smart.
Exactly, exactly. If what you're doing, I tell people, ask yourself, is what I'm doing building my business, and is it making me money? And if it's not, then you can dump it or delegate it.
Okay, very good. This is such great advice. Encouraging our listeners to prioritize and get their ducks all in a row. Build a business, make money. That's what you're out there doing. That's your goal. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor. And when we come back with Lynn, we're going to talk about how she stays focused working from home with all of the distractions. And we're going to also ask Lynn to share her own failures, any regrets, and advice that she has for us. We'll be right back with Lynn Bardowski.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
Well, you know, I am working on becoming socially fit this year, and I hope that all of my listeners will join me in this fun pursuit. My guest, Lynn Bardowski's success has allowed her family to live an amazing life with many dreams come true. They stood together on the edge of the Grand Canyon, viewed Paris from the top of the Eiffel Tower, sped through the Everglades on an airboat, hiked through a rainforest, experienced Phantom of the Opera in London and New York, and savored tapas in Barcelona. Lynn is a Jersey girl at heart. She enjoys putting her toes in the sand and celebrating life with her two daughters, Lauren, Alyssa, and husband, Bill. Lynn, you have created quite an interesting life for yourself. Fantastic life. Now talk a little bit about what it's like to work from home with all of those distractions.
Well, it was a real challenge for me going from a corporate career where I was out of the house to balancing working from home with two little girls. It seemed like, and I, you know, talk to moms all the time, and for whatever reason, whenever you're on the phone, it's like the cue for your child to suddenly, you know, get the lipstick and put it all over the wall or something. Like something happens to kids when their mother gets on the phone.
Absolutely.
So I learned early on that I cannot be working my business all the time. And I think that's the biggest challenge. When you're passionate and you're excited, Mm-hmm. You could literally be doing your business 24 hours a day.
Right.
And so I had to set boundaries. And after going through that, and because you're not really focused on business building time and separating it from family time, you know, neither one does well. You know, mm-hmm. your mm-hmm. kids are suffering because they're trying to get your attention and you're doing business calls, and then your business is suffering because you can't focus when, you know, your kids are writing on the wall with the lipstick.
Right.
So, my answer to that was I set up office hours.
Oh,
and
okay.
I hired a mother's helper to come over. And it was, you know, it wasn't even an 8-hour day. It was like 3 hours, 3 days a week. That was my focus time. And, you know, I gave my time to my children. They knew when I was done my office hours, they had my totally focused attention. And that during those office hours, you know, mommy's doing her business. So, that's my best tip for mompreneurs is you really need to set those boundaries so that your family's happy and your business is happy too, because when you're putting in laundry and trying to do a business call, you're not going to be as effective as when you have that focus 2 or 3 hours of the day to just work, you know, on your business, not in it, but on it.
Uh-huh. Well, that requires a little bit of discipline, and it requires being innovative and finding a mother's helper that your children love, and that I guess you have to really stick to that schedule, don't you?
Yeah, I really did. I mean, and then I would take off Fridays, like, you know, the kids knew Friday is play day, and we'd go to the park, and because part of my intention of working from home was to be able to have that time with them. And, of course, as my kids got older, you know, my business evolved. Like you said, when they got to high school, you know, they didn't want to hang out with me anymore. So
yeah.
I could work whatever I want. But, you know, I really found that my business evolved as my children grew.
Absolutely. And you found your passion and you shared it in a wonderful book, and you have so much going on. I can't imagine how you found the time to write it, except that now your children are older, so now you probably don't have to adhere to 3 hours and 3 days a week. Lynn, could you share with my listeners what success means to you right now, today, as we speak, and if you have any regrets or advice?
Success really for me has always been about creating a vision and seeing that vision through. And it's really focused on serving others. One of the things I always ask myself is, you know, is what I'm doing serving myself or is it serving other people? So, you know, you shared my vision earlier was to empower a gazillion women, which, you know, sounds a little crazy. But that's what inspired me to write the book. I never thought about writing a book. It wasn't on my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
But when I added that word gazillion, and I really just did it for fun because I was turning 50, and I thought, well, what can I do differently?
Yeah, okay. Well, writing a book will certainly bring you to your knees and then some, but it's one of the most amazing experiences a woman can have these days, and it's a very doable thing, isn't it, the way things are set up now on the internet?
You know, it's really an exciting time, and I'm hoping that my story will really inspire more women to tell their story, because it's being an indie author, there's never been a better time for it. I feel like the book industry is where the music industry was about 10 years ago.
You're absolutely right. That's a very astute observation. Now, Lynn, do you have any regrets that you would share with us and advice for my listeners?
I'm a no regrets kind of girl. So
okay.
I really feel that, you know, whatever your journey is, it all has a reason and a plan. And I like to look forward. I don't look back. So I don't really believe in regrets. My biggest lesson is to really, I think for women to really take time for you, to realize that when you are not your top priority, you're not going to be good to anybody else. And so it's important for women, especially women that are working from home, to not feel guilty about taking some time and taking downtime for themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I start every day with a walk. I walk around a lake that's close by. It kind of gets me out and gets that creative thought flowing in my head. And so it's almost like my morning meditation. So, you know, whatever is important to you, you know, take that time to do it and don't feel like you have to constantly on and doing things for everybody else. You need to take care of you as well.
Well, you know, that is interesting about taking a morning walk, because it's something that I have discovered, and I actually have become kind of addicted to a morning walk, a long morning walk, and then in the evening I take a short walk. I have a dog, and so it's a good excuse to get out. But so many times when I'm out walking, I will get so much inspiration, and things will come to me just from out of nowhere. Do you find that happens with you too?
Absolutely. I love it. And again, it's addicting. Like, I have to walk every day now.
Yeah, I know. It does get addicting. And I'm hoping a lot of our listeners will get up. You know, you have to use it or you lose it. So I highly recommend walking, as does Lynn. And Lynn, what is your personal motto?
Well, one of my my favorite quotes that actually inspired me to become an entrepreneur is, "A candle loses none of its light by lighting another candle."
Oh, wow. That's very powerful.
I really feel like it's guided my life. I feel like I'm almost living a literal translation of that. But I've always loved that quote, and, you know, who knew? Back when I put that on my refrigerator.
And I love the other quote that you share in your sheet. Candles feed your soul. Share your glow. Make a difference. Listen to your intuition. And that is from Lynn Bardowski. And Lynn, it has been fabulous having you on the show. You have shared your glow with my listeners today. And I hope you will come back many, many times in the future. You truly are a priceless personality.
Oh, well, thank you, January. Next time we'll have to have a glass of wine when we have the show.
Yes, and actually we do wine instead of whining, so it'll be perfect.
I like it.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show with Lynn today, the Million Dollar Party Girl. Isn't she amazing? My upcoming guests for the rest of the week are all exciting, eclectic, energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you, just like Lynn. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Now, remember my mantra: if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Lynn Bardowski. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra: if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.